Good morning, everyone. So there's the wealth gap here in the United States, which we talk about quite a lot. But there's the even wider wealth disparity between rich and poor countries throughout the world. Both are problems with all kinds of political and social implications. And we see them playing out in angry demonstrations in this country, in Oakland, in New York, in divisions in Europe between Greece and Germany, and the horrors of the famine in Somalia, just a short flight away from the riches of Saudi Arabia. Is the world in need of a modern-day Robin Hood to take from the rich and give to the poor? Well, billionaire Bill Gates thinks so. He's at the G20 summit in Cannes this week trying to actually sell the idea of imposing what's called a Robin Hood tax on financial transactions, stocks, bonds, and derivative trades to fund development in poor countries. Well, there's a parallel idea here in the U.S. Congress to tax financial transactions as a way of dealing with this government's fiscal crisis. And we're happy to be joined now by Representative Peter DeFazio, the Democratic congressman for Oregon's 4th District. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
And you are a co-sponsor of this Robin Hood tax legislation along with Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm the House sponsor. He's the Senate sponsor.
He's a Senate sponsor. All right. So explain how this exactly would work and why do you focus on this particular sector of the revenue producing part of the economy?
Well, we introduced this proposal before, and we've now simplified it. We've lowered the rate. The rate is about a third of what's being proposed in the EU and would apply it to all transactions. And at that very minuscule rate, 3 cents on $100, 3 basis points, they call it. We've worked with credible, prominent economists who say by setting the rate that low, you're not going to affect long-term investors, value investors, you know, pension funds, people with self-directed IRAs, those sorts of things. It'll be insignificant to them. But what we would do is rein in a bunch of the wild speculation that goes on driven by supercomputer trading, which is making the markets volatile, hurting average investors, hurting capital formation, and ultimately caused a flash crash and contributed to the last major downfall in the market. So we would have two effects. One is we would rein in the wild, useless trading, of commodities or stocks thousands of times a minute or a second. But we would also raise revenue, and we would dedicate that revenue to rebuilding the real economy of the country, putting people back to work and dealing with our fiscal problems. We had a tax like this from 1916 to 1966 when we built the greatest economy in the world, and it was doubled in a day when Congress had more guts and presidents stood up to Wall Street, when FDR doubled the tax at the height of the Great Depression to rebuild the real economy, the WPA and the CCC.
All right. Representative Peter DeFazio, Democratic congressman for Oregon's 4th District, talking about the Robin Hood tax proposal that he wants to actually bring back and has proposed along with Senator Tom Harkin in the U.S. Congress. So Louise Story joins us now, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. The congressman is still with us. I don't want to get into a debate or put you into the role of critiquing the proposal per se, but this is a popular proposal all over the world. How is it being treated in the debates in, say, Europe?
Well, this idea has really picked up steam since the financial crisis because people want to find a way to take money away from Wall Street, essentially. People feel like we bailed the banks out. Now they're profitable. They pay big bonuses. Why aren't they helping to pay off the deficits? This proposal is particularly popular in Europe. President Sarkozy, for instance, in France, has supported it. But heretofore, when the U.S. has sent over Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, he has fiercely opposed it. And so, you know, in Washington, there's not all-out support for this. The fear is that, yes, maybe you reduce some of the computer trading and maybe you reduce some of the volatility, but the fear that people say is that you might also reduce liquidity in the markets that could possibly hurt stock trading. No one knows exactly how it would affect stock trading. And then the other thing is, who would pay for it? You know, would pension funds pay for it? You know, one thing that I think people fail to think about when they talk about the transaction tax is, of course, we already have a transaction tax in the U.S. It's called the profits, that the spread that the Wall Street banks get when they sell derivatives to customers.
Right, right,
so, there already is money coming out of every trade. So the question is, do you take more out and send it to the government?
That's Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. I want to remind people, Representative DeFazio, you did say there would be an exclusion for people who have pension funds, right?
No, that was the previous proposal. At this point, 0.3%. The average American is lucky enough to have a 401k and still have a job. That's 39% of the workforce. Contributes about $3,400 a year. The burden on them would be a dollar. Now, for that dollar, they would be advantaged because no longer would they be subject to the wild market swings driven by this computer trading.
Well, let me ask you about that. Is the mission more to level out the speculative trading, or is it more to actually get revenue to pay down the deficit?
Something that actually Larry Summers, as an academic, a president's former economic advisor, supported 20 years ago. Joe Stiglitz, Nobel Prize laureate, supports. We need to both get rid of volatility, and if we can also raise money at the same time and get rid of the wild speculation, that would be salutary. We somehow were able to have liquidity and set prices without trading stocks on supercomputers, but somehow now this is essential to setting the market. I mean, that's BS.
That's not Louise Story's argument, but it is Tim Geithner's argument, and it's also an argument in the Republican Congress where they're opposed to almost any kind of tax. How do you deal with the arguments there?
Well, 97% of the House Republicans have signed a pledge to a guy named
Grover Norquist.
Grover Norquist, yeah, his name escaped me at the moment. It's early in the morning, saying they would never raise a tax for any reason. Well, you're not serious about the deficit debt problems in the United States and economic recovery in this country if you can't raise revenues in any form. So, yeah, it's a non-starter with the people in the House, but Senator Harkin and I and Bruce Braley have sent a letter to the Super Congress, the Super Committee, and suggested that they look at this as part of the mix.
All right. Representative Peter DeFazio, Democratic Congressman for Oregon's 4th District, thanks so much. Louise Story, we'll give you a final word on this. Where do you think it goes in Europe versus the U.S.?
Well, again, it just comes down to what is the power dynamic here between Europe and the U.S. And right now, Europe's house is not in order. And so it's a little hard for them to tell the U.S., come along, do this policy that we want to do. But on the other hand, Europe can always point back to the U.S. and say, remember the 2008 financial crisis? That brought the world to its knees and we're still suffering. So it's a power struggle.
Maybe both the U.S. and Europe will say, hey, China, what do you think about this tax?
Yeah, China, tell us what you think. China's the new thought leader.
That's where it goes. There we go. Thanks, Louise Story.
Thank you.
Wall Street and finance reporter and thought leader for our program and partner in the New York Times.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.